of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The congregation may be seated. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here in the sight of God and before His church to witness the union of this man and this woman in holy matrimony. This is an honorable estate instituted by God in paradise before humanity's fall into sin. In marriage, we see a picture of the communion between Christ and His bride, the Church. Our Lord blessed and honored marriage with His presence and first miracle in Cana in Galilee. This estate is also commended to us by the Apostle Paul as good and honorable. Therefore, marriage is not to be entered into inadvisedly or lightly, but reverently, deliberately, and in accordance with the purposes for which it was instituted by God. The union of husband and wife in heart, body, and mind is intended by God for the mutual companionship, help, and support that each person ought to receive from the other in both prosperity and adversity. Marriage was also ordained so that man and woman may find delight in one another. Therefore, all persons who marry shall take a spouse in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust. For God has not called us to impurity, but in holiness. God also established marriage for the procreation of children who are to be brought up in the fear and instruction of the Lord, so that they may offer Him their praise. For these reasons, God has established the holy estate that Catherine and John wish to enter. They desire our prayers as they begin their marriage in the Lord's name and with His blessing. John, will you have this woman to be your wedded wife, to live together in the holy estate of matrimony as God ordained it? Will you nourish and cherish her as Christ loved His body, the Church, giving Himself up for her? Will you love, honor, and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, remain united to her alone as long as you both shall live? Then say, I will.
I will.
Catherine, will you have this man to be your wedded husband, to live together in the holy estate of matrimony as God ordained it? Will you submit to him as the Church submits to Christ? Will you honor, love, and keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, remain united to him alone as long as you both shall live? Then say, I will. I now ask the parents of this couple, do you herewith also give your consent and blessing to this marriage of your son and your daughter? Then answer, we prayerfully commend them to each other and God's care with our blessing. We prayerfully commend them to each other and God's care with our blessing. Turn to each other and take each other by the hand. And John, please repeat after me. I, John.
I, John.
Take you, Catherine.
Take you, Catherine.
To be my wedded wife.
To be my wedded wife.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish till death us do part.
To love and to cherish till death do us part.
According to God's holy will.
According to God's holy will.
And I pledge you my faithfulness.
And I pledge you my faithfulness.
And Catherine, please repeat after me. I, Catherine.
I, Catherine.
Take you, John.
Take you, John.
To be my wedded husband.
To be my wedded husband.
To have and to hold from this day forward. For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish till death us do part.
To love and to
according to God's holy will.
And I pledge you my faithfulness.
May I have the rings? Almighty Father, you have generously created all things to serve us for our good. Send your blessing upon this couple who shall wear these rings as a constant reminder of their marital fidelity. Grant that by your mercy they may live gladly and faithfully in this holy estate. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. John, would you place Catherine's ring upon her finger and say, "With this ring, I thee wed."
With this ring, I thee wed.
And Catherine, please place John's ring upon his finger and say, "With this ring, I thee wed."
With this ring, I thee wed.
I invite you to both kneel. Now that Catherine and John have committed themselves to each other in holy matrimony, have given themselves to each other by their solemn pledges, and have declared the same before God and these witnesses, I pronounce them to be husband and wife, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What God has joined together, let no one put asunder. Amen. The Almighty and gracious God abundantly grant you his favor and sanctify and bless you with the blessing given to Adam and Eve in paradise, that you may please him in both body and soul and live together in the holy love until your life's end. Amen. The wedding party is excused, and if the witnesses would come forward and sign the wedding certificate.
Thank you. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways.
Testament reading which has been selected for this joyous occasion is from the first book of Moses, Genesis chapter 2, beginning at the 7th verse. Saint Moses writes, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it parted and became four heads. The name of the first is Pisan, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. And the same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. And that is it which goeth eastward, east of Assyria. And a fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. The epistle is taken from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, chapter 5. St. Paul writes, Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. We rise at the reading of the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter. St. John writes, "And the third day there was a marriage at Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, they knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom. He saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Your word is a lamp to my feet.
My text for today, Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. These are thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, we are gathered here today for a joyous occasion, a wedding in which a man and a woman are coming together to become one flesh. It is well, therefore, that we should consider for a few moments the sure foundation which God gives us as we think about marriage and as we enjoy and celebrate the entering of John and Catherine into the estate of marriage. In the book of Genesis, we learn that God instituted marriage, and that God instituted marriage to be a permanent and regular union of a man and a woman. We further learn from the Holy Word of God that the purpose of marriage would be for mutual support, help, and comfort. We learn that our Lord showed to the man all of the animals, and whatever the man called each of the animals, that was its name. but there was not found a helper suitable for the man. And so God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, took a piece from his side, and made a woman and brought her to the man. And so we see that the man needed a suitable helper. And therefore, as they journey together through life, they do so as mutually supportive, helpful, and comforting one another. We further learn from the Word of God that marriage is for the procreation of children in accordance with the Word of God. The bearing and raising of children is not an option for people who might have that proclivity, but it is one of the foundational purposes for which God instituted marriage. And therefore, as we consider the question that is so prevalent today, who is it that may rightfully enter into a lawful marriage? It is those who can be expected to have children and to raise those children according to God's will. Now, the other thing that you might miss as we consider these words from the book of Genesis is that throughout the whole introduction that goes on between God and Adam and Eve, we see God's loving and tender presence with the man and the woman. And in this presence of God, we see the Lord revealing his will to Adam and to Eve. We see the Lord tenderly guiding the two to each other and letting them discover what it is that he created them for and what it is he sends them into the world to be. And so, it's as though God were the preacher at the first wedding. And so, in our text from Genesis 2, we see the good and loving Lord God bringing together the man and the woman. And man, who had given names to all of the animals, but for whom no suitable helper was found, man now sees Eve, and he says, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And so we consider that it is the Lord God's will that a man and a woman would come together to constitute a new thing, a family. And in that family, to come together in one flesh and to bear and raise children in thanksgiving to God. But, you know, before we get to the wedding at Cana, we have to pass through Genesis chapter 3. Because in Genesis chapter 3, we learn that sin entered the world and death through sin. And we learn in Genesis chapter 3 that as a consequence of sin, there was a fracture of fellowship. First of all, we learn that there was a fracture of fellowship between the man and his wife because of sin. And this is shown by the fact that they felt compelled to make fig leaves, aprons of fig leaves, to cover their nakedness. We also learn that their relationship with God was fractured when we hear those sad words that issue forth from the mouth of the Lord God, who had so frequently in the past come to them in grace and mercy and love, and now speaks those sad and alienating words, "Where are you? Where are you?" And Adam says, "We heard your voice and we hid ourselves." And God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the fruit?" And then, of course, the buck passing begins. And Adam and Eve show that their relationship with one another that once existed in innocence now exists in sin. As Adam says to God, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the fruit and I did eat." Now notice this. Adam first is blaming his wife. "She made me do it." But really, pay attention, because he's really blaming God. He's saying, "The woman that you gave me, she's the one who got me into this mess." And so it is here that we see the fellowship with God broken because of sin, and we have the fellowship between man and his wife broken because of sin. And yet, God does not leave us in brokenness, sin, and death. But before the scene in Genesis 3 is over, God makes a gracious promise to the human race. And he says this. He's speaking to the serpent, but he's talking to Adam and Eve and to all of us, the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. And he says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And here in this promise, what the Lord God is telling the man is that the defeat of Satan will surely come in God's way and in God's time. And the one who is to defeat Satan will be the one who is the seed of the woman. Now, this promise is called the Protevangelium. That means the first promise of the gospel in the Bible. And there is a scarlet thread that goes through the scripture. And that scarlet thread goes all the way through until it connects up with the incarnation of the Son of the Living God, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of the Living God. Jesus came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came into the world to redeem us from sin, from death, and from eternal damnation. And during the course of his earthly ministry, when he taught his gospel, and when he acted on our behalf in his incarnation and nativity, in all of the events of his life, and then finally when he suffered crucifixion, death, and burial, All of this he did as our substitute and our redeemer. Now, my friends, while he was prosecuting his holy ministry of redemption for the sake of the world, he was given signs to perform. And one of the signs that Jesus performed to manifest his glory so that we might believe on him and thus receive the blessings of his redemption is when he attended the wedding at Cana and when he turned the water into wine. Now, the story of the wedding at Cana, we could go on for hours about it, but I just want to say a few brief things. Jesus, by his presence at this wedding, he was invited to it and he attended it with his disciples. This is to show that under the new covenant, the covenant that we are the beneficiaries of, marriage is still held in honor. It is still considered an institution of God, and it is still for us to enjoy under God and in his grace and expecting his help. And so when Jesus attends the wedding at Cana in Galilee, we are encouraged to believe that as we have invited him to this wedding today, so he is in attendance. Because the word of God says, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And the word of Christ at the end of the Gospel of Matthew says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so, as Jesus was invited and attended the wedding at Cana in Galilee, so he is in attendance here. Jesus was able to be a great blessing to the bride and the groom at the wedding at Cana because, unfortunately, and for whatever reason, the Bible says that they ran out of wine. His mother came to him and says, they have no wine. He says, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. And his mother turned to the servants and says, do whatever he tells you. The Bible tells us that there were sitting there huge water pots made out of stone. And Jesus commanded that the servants would fill them up to the brim. And so, laboriously, six large stone water pots were filled to the brim with water. Now, this seems very anticlimactic to us, but it shows us that if we are left to ourselves, we are impotent in the things of God and the things of righteousness. When we stand under the law, all we are before God under the law is a long drink of water. But here Jesus comes to us in the midst of our incapacity, in the midst of our failing, in the midst of our inability to produce that which is good. And he does for us not only what we could never do for ourselves, but we never even dreamed that such a wonderful thing could happen. And this teaches us, Of course, it teaches us that Jesus is the manifestation of the glory and the presence of God in human flesh. But it teaches us that God has become flesh in order to reach down into our sin and our lostness and to give us what we never dreamed we could have, the wonderful wine of redemption, the wonderful wine of the forgiveness of sins, the wonderful wine of the grace of the living God who comes to sinners with promises of salvation and life. And so it is that as man has fallen into sin, and as sin can spoil the blessings of marriage, so that there are times when all we want to do is run and escape, nevertheless, the Christian has this that he can hold to, and that is, we have a sure word of God, and that word of God in Christ tells us that we can have our sins forgiven. We can have our joy restored. We may be strengthened to continue in the grace of God, and we can, by the grace of God, continue to live faithfully in our marriages until our life's end. And so today, with our eyes firmly fixed upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we celebrate John and Catherine as they have made their vows and their promises, but made them not on the strength of their own character, but on the strength of the saving grace of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. In that grace of God, we may make promises. In that grace of God, we may expect that God will help us in every trouble, that he will never leave us nor forsake us, for we have a Savior, Christ the Lord, and in him we can do all things. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Almighty, everlasting God, our heavenly Father, grant that by your blessing, Catherine and John may live together according to your word and promise. Strengthen them in faithfulness and love toward each other. Sustain and defend them in every trial and temptation. Help them live in faith toward you, in the communion of your holy church, and in loving service to each other, that they may enjoy your heavenly blessing. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
O God, our dwelling place in all generations, look with favor upon the homes of our land, especially the home of this family, John, Catherine, and Elizabeth. Embrace husbands and wives, parents and children, in the arms of your love, and grant that each, in reverence for Christ, fulfill the duties you have given them. Bless our homes, that they may ever be a shelter for the defenseless, a fortress for the tempted, a resting place for the weary, and a foretaste of our eternal home with you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
my pleasure to introduce to the congregation Mr. and Mrs. John and Catherine Baisley. You may kiss the bride.